Blog Talk Radio.
And I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continuously be in my mouth. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Apostle Terry Hill here. I am so excited to be back on the World Wide Web with you again. We've been on our face before God, and allowing the Spirit of God to just speak to us and getting the mind of God about 2018, the Lord say the same, and then believing God, amen, for you. I want you to know that you don't know me, but I want you to know, and I want you to listen to me very sincerely, that you have people that are praying for you. Our pastor, along with my wife, we are senior pastors of Deliverance in the Word Prophetic Ministries here in Kansas City, Missouri. And I talk about you guys a lot, those that are listening to me, those that follows me here on the radio. I want you to know that you are deeply loved, and I appreciate you so much. Get your Bibles. Turn with me to 1 Kings 17, chapter 17 and verse 1. All right, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inheritance of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now let me stop here and let me read this again, and let's ring this out. All right, let's start at verse 2. And the word of the Lord came to the prophet, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Now, as I began to do study on this prophet, and I am a big fan of this prophet, Prophet Elijah, actually to all prophets in the Bible, Genesis through Revelation. But this one prophet here, as I read 1st and 2nd Kings, this one prophet was up under a lot of pressure. I don't have time to give to you the amount of pressure that he was up under. But as I was studying this, and the Lord led me to this scripture, I was asking the Lord, why did you send the prophet to this one brook? And as I began to study into the prophetic significance, into the purpose of why this one brook, the Lord had you in mind, those that are listening to me right now. First of all, he told the prophet to go hide by the brook. Now, let me quickly say this to you. A prophet, first of all, never hides in terms of being threatened. He's a man of God. He's not crazy, but he or she is a man of God, for one. But he's not hiding, per se, to run away from anything. If you read that with me, the word of the Lord told him to go hide by the brook Cherith. Now, what I found so interesting was, and I asked the Lord, what was so prophetically significant to this brook? And so as I began to do my study, as I began to go into the Word of God deeper and study, the brook, the Hebrew word for Kereth. In Hebrew, this is a place of cutting. You need to write this down because this is very significant in the season that you're in right now. This is the brook of Kereth is a place of cutting. It is a place of separation. Are you writing these down? A place of circumcision. Now, when I say cutting, beloved, I'm not saying that the prophet was here cutting himself, cutting up on himself, harming himself. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is God sent him here to allow God to cut away of his carnality nature. You do understand that when God gets ready to promote you to another level, and I'll teach this, I'll bring about a part two before the week is out, the Lord said the same. You do understand that before God brings you to another level in him, there are going to have to be some cutting away of you. Who am I speaking to? You, sir, you man of God, prophet, prophetess, are in a place right now that God says to you, like he said to this prophet, hide yourself. Because I'm getting ready to cut away the carnality of away from you. In other words, in this next move, you cannot allow any of you to manifest itself in this next move. That's why I entitled this message, God has to hide you before he manifests himself through you. Or better yet, before he manifests himself in you. In this next move, beloved, there cannot be any flesh, any hint, any hint of flesh. We're going to have to give it all to God. The Bible says that his ways is not our ways, his thoughts is not our thoughts. So because of that now, we're in this place, in this position, that God is cutting away your thoughts. He's cutting away your ways. Maybe, perhaps, one of the reasons why we're at where we're at, and I'm speaking to you that's listening to me right now, you might find yourself perhaps in a place of isolation, in a place of hiding, in a place of seclusion. And that's a good thing, because if you back it up through prayer and fasting, in other words, have God ever spoken to you to depart yourself, to hide yourself? Don't say nothing, do nothing. I want you to go on to a complete lockdown in fasting and prayer. Has he ever spoken to you to do that? Sure he has. But I want you to notice that the Bible says, the Word of God, and I thank God that God brings clarity when we study. If you noticed in verse 3, he said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and do what? Hide thyself by the brook Kereth that is before Jordan. I want you to hide yourself. I don't want you to flash no cards, no resume. Put your book that you just wrote, put it down. Don't lock it up. Don't show it to no. I want you to hide. Don't pass out your number. Don't hardly go nowhere. I want you to hide yourself. I'm getting ready to speak to you. I need your undivided attention. Don't talk to nobody. Don't hold conversations. Don't hold meaningless conversations, fleshly, carnal conversations. I'm getting ready to speak to you. You're at a place called Kereth, at a place of cutting. Glory be to God. Verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Now, I want you to notice, I want you to notice the provision that God is providing for the man of God here. First of all, we see a brook. We see the man, the prophet, by a brook that has water in it. But if you notice in verse 1, look at verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, now Ahab was a king now. The prophet is here speaking to power. Listen to me. Anytime God, I'm going to take my time with this one. Anytime God pulls you away from something for something, he's pulling you away for a reason. I'm going to say it again. Anytime God calls you away from something, he's pulling you away for something. In this case, Elijah was speaking to Ahab. Ahab was a king. This was a man in power. Now, regardless of who he has or who he's speaking to, even though it's significant, you and I will be speaking, you and I, those of us who have made a quality decision, a decision and a quality decision, there is a difference. I don't have time to talk to you about that right now. To say that I'm going in God, I'm a sit here, I'm a fast and pray, and I'm a seek God. I need God to move you. I need God to move some things, to answer some things. All right? So be it that it might be a religious power, a religious regime, a religious order. You do understand that God, when God speaks to a prophet, calls the prophet to address power, he not only speaking to that man, but he's speaking to the one that rocks the cradle, the one that rules the world. Religious power, religious mindset, the king that has the ability to affect the whole region. God has put a word in your belly, sir. God has put a word in your belly, prophetess. Woman of God, are you listening? He's put a word in your belly to go and speak to power. But you're going to have to do it God's way. Hide yourself. All right? Let's continue. He said in verse 1, he said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. This is Elijah speaking to Ahab, saying, according to the word of God that came from out of his belly, Elijah's belly, there shall not be dew nor rain these years. The Bible is not clear, does not mention how many years, but it's going to rain. It's going to stop raining or start raining based on the command of Elijah. That's powerful. You do know, what is this saying? You do know that you have the ability to authorize and to unauthorize stuff in your life and the lives of others. I'm going to say that again. You do know, as believers, as prophets of God, you have the power to authorize and unauthorize stuff in the lives of God's people and yourself. The Bible says that death and life is in the power of the what? All right, so if death and life is in the power of the tongue, then God is saying that we have the ability to bring it into our existence or to cast it out of our existence, to create it into our existence, or reject it from our existence altogether. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. All right? Unaddressed behavior is condoned what? Behavior. If you don't address it verbally, if you don't use your tongue, your mouth, to address it, this is whether physical or spiritual, you are condoning it. You're giving it legal access. If I knocked at your house, if I knocked on your door, and you opened up the door and I introduced myself to you, or probably not, just bum rushed you, just went all into your house, you know, took everything. Matter of fact, you just allowed me to do it. You smiling with the door wide open. You just allowed me to do it. Take everything in your house. And, you know, I leave. And then you say to me, bye-bye. See you later. Nice to you coming. You didn't address the thief, which is me. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. But you didn't address me. You condoned it. You didn't say anything. Sure, you can go in my house, take my money, take my jewels, take my jewelry, take my TV, take everything that I own. Take it. Take my car. You didn't address it, so why not? You gave me legal access. You gave me legal access to your house, though you was in the house. That's very important. I'll get into that later. And it came to verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee that be there. Now, we see profit by a brook of water that is drying up slowly, because he told Ahab that there shall not be dew nor rain these years, right? So the brook is drying up, right? All right. And he said, I've commanded, verse 4, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. There where? Where is this at? By the brook. All right. So God now, he gives the prophet, he is giving the prophet sustaining ability. He's providing supernaturally for God, or for the prophet. God is supernaturally providing his servant. He's given him water, and the Bible says right here, he's commanded the ravens to feed him by the brook. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. That's very important. See, like so many of us, I don't want to use the word argumentative, but we like to think out. We like to rational out stuff. God, how are we going to do this? That's that fleshly thing. That's that. See, this is how you know you haven't been by the brook Cherith, because he just got through saying, or in his word, he says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But if you notice this right here, the prophet, if God spoke to the prophet, told the prophet, he said, and it shall be that thou shalt, he said, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. No argument, no hesitation. He came up from where he was, hear me. He came up from where he was and started on a new path in God. What is the prophetic significance here? Let this be the last day, hear me. Let this be the last day that you allow a dried up situation in your life to keep you connected to that situation in your life. In other words, you do understand that if Elijah wanted to, even though the brook was dried up, he could have stayed in that situation. He could have stayed by that brook. You know, there are times, can we talk for a minute? There are times, and we have to really be honest with ourselves. We have to really be sincere with ourselves. There are times when God speaks to us and tells us that this situation right here is dried up. But what do? We stay connected to a thing that's dead. I'm going to say that again. At times, we do stay connected, and God tells us, sounds the alarm and all of that, get your attention, all of that prophetically, to say to us that this situation right here, your time, your season right here is over. But what do? We stay connected to it. Why, Apostle Hill? Well, that's a good question. I don't know whether it's a generational situation. Your mother and daddy was there. Your grandmother, grandfather was there. You know, the love thing. You know, because when you love something so deep and so hard, it's hard to let something go. Come on, saints. Come on now. Can we be honest? Can we talk for a minute? When you love so hard and so deep and so passionate, it is, when it's time for it to leave, you don't want to leave. You don't want to let it. And then when God tells you to let it go, you have an argument with God. It's like that dude on Charlie Brown, the one with the blanket. What's his name? Lionel? Linus? You, What would happen if somebody, can we talk for a minute? What would happen if somebody took that brother's blanket? Well, I mean, see, would he get dysregulated? Would he get just mad? Would he get upset? What would happen if someone just snatched the blanket from him? His security blanket. The blanket that provides whatever security for him. The same thing God is asking you in this season. Will you give me your excuses? Will you give me your blanket of excuses? Will you take the props away from you once and for all and allow me? Will you let me do this my way? Come on now. And the reason why so many things have exploded and imploded in your life, in your ministry, hear me, it's because we've refused, some of us, not all of us, to do it God's way. We step out ahead of time. God's saying, now I need you to do it my way. He says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. I love that. He didn't argue with God, didn't question God. And don't get me wrong, because we're human, we're going to do it. We're going to question God. But here's the danger of questioning God. We have to be careful that we don't move ourselves out of or away from what God is wanting to do. It's called two words, doubt and what? Absolutely. Unbelief. It kills us. This is one of the reasons, partially, one of the reasons why the children of Israel went around the wilderness for 40 years. Doubt and unbelief. Speaking negative to a God-ordained thing. Let me ask you a question, prophetess. Let me ask you a question, prophet. What is your mouth speaking in the season that you're in right now? Is it positive or is it negative? What is your mind? What is your mindset? What are you believing God for in this season? Are you listening? What are you listening to? He's not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. He's in the still, small voice. To hear God, you got to be into a place of total isolation. You got to be in a place of hiding. Nothing banging, nothing clamoring, no. You got to shut the door to the noise and pestilence of this world. Not only of this world, but you got to shut the door of the noise and pestilence in your flesh, in your mind. I know you don't hear that type of preaching, this type of teaching, but it's the truth. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride. You got to shut the door to all of that in order for God to really speak to you in the season that you're in right now. And when you get, I don't know about you, but when you get tired of walking around in the wilderness and bumping your head every move you make, you're going to say somewhere eventually, you're going to open up your mouth and you're going to tell God, you're going to say to God, God, look, I'm tired of bumping my head on this wall. I'm tired of doors being slammed every position, every direction, and I'm going to depend on you like never before. And that is the position that God wants you to lean on right there. Dependence on him. Oh, I give you praise, Lord. I give you glory right now. Lord, I lift up my hands right now in this studio, and I thank you, God, for speaking to your people right now in the season that they're in right now, in Jesus' name. Where we at? Verse 5, all right. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning. Look at the provision of God. And bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Oh, I thank God for provision. Thank God for provision. He is Jehovah Jireh. Now, let me slow down and let's look at something. Look at these birds. What kind of birds were they? Ravens. Come on now. What is the prophetic significance here? Don't let today be the last day that you think that God can't command something that might be insignificant to you to be a blessing to you. In other words, don't look at people, don't look at situations, places, things as an impossible situation that they are not be able to provide for you. God will use that thing that's most unlikely to provide for you. To provide for you. Apostle Hill, can you say that again? No. God will use that thing that's most unlikely to provide for you. To provide for you. See, at times we're thinking that a big president, vice president of a major company will do it for us. We're thinking just getting on some major gospel television radio show will do it for us. No. If God got to speak to you and tell you to start your own radio show in your bedroom, in your garage, he can use that right there to do it, to bring you out, to lift you up. Let today be the last day that you look at anything thinking that it's insignificant, that it has no purpose. Everything that God commands in this season, everything that God commands in this season, God is going to use it for your glory in your life. Oh, I thank you, Lord. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. Oh, my God, my time is leaving. Oh, listen, this is Apostle Hill. God bless you. Listen, be sure to tune in. Be sure to follow me on Facebook. Call me at 816-541-9014, wherever you are. Let me know that these messages have been a blessing to you. Until I get back on the air again, this is Apostle Terry Hill. Praise the Lord, everybody.